Father, we thank you that in the past you spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And we thank you that you have now spoken to us through your Son, your eternal word. Please open our hearts that we would hear his voice this morning and in hearing him know you as our Father. We ask this for your name's sake. Amen. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. As we come to celebrate Christmas this year, it is hard not to have in mind the Bondi terror attack. That date, the 14th of December, has changed forever the lives of those involved. Dates like this become historic moments, significant for individuals, communities, and nations. At Bondi, the Jewish community had gathered to celebrate another historic day. Hanukkah celebrates the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem in 164 BC on the 25th of the month of Kislev in the Jewish calendar. This festival commemorates the victory of Judas Maccabeus over the Greek king Antiochus Epiphanes and the liberation of Jews from Greek rule. And the Gospel of John records that Jesus himself attended this festival during his life. The central element of Hanukkah is the lighting of the candles of the menorah. And the Talmud, written some 100 years later, says that when the temple was dedicated, there was only enough consecrated oil to light the menorah for one day, but God miraculously supplied the oil for 8 days, time enough for new oil to be pressed and consecrated. And so Hanukkah goes for 8 days, and it is also called the Festival of Lights. This year, the pall of darkness and death has hung over this festival of light. And for many, it feels like a moment of darkness that threatens to overwhelm and engulf the light. And while in these days our focus as a nation has been on the events in Bondi, we only need to look elsewhere in the world to see that shadow hanging over us. The appalling loss of life in Gaza, the ongoing war in Ukraine, violence in Sudan and Congo. You may know the shadows threatening to overwhelm and swallow your own life or those around you. Sickness, grief, financial hardship, addiction, conflict in relationships. Into this dark world, we hear those words from John 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. How is this so? And where is this light, we ask? We do see the heroism of ordinary folk like Ahmed al-Ahmed taking on the darkness. But our text today has something else in mind, something much deeper, something much stronger. The one in whom there is life, whose life is the light of all people, the true light that gives light to everyone, has come into the world, the gospel tells us. John's gospel speaks about him as the eternal Word of God, who was with God and who himself is God, the one through whom all things were made. Our first reading from Hebrews speaks of him as the Son of God. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. It is this one, the radiance of God's glory, like the light of the sun, who is the one who has come into this world. And John writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen the glory of this one in the humble weakness of a helpless baby. The source of life himself, now born as one of us, his life under threat from the first, from wicked men who would seek to snuff out this flickering candle. It is this one whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, this one who is the light who shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome his light because he is the source of life itself. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He has entered into all the weakness and frailty of our humanity. Tears and smiles like us he knew. And he feeleth for our sadness, and he shareth in our gladness. We are not alone. God himself knows our pain. This truly is for us tidings of comfort and joy." John writes, "Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." We celebrate Christmas each year, but as a society, we are pretty good at not recognizing who it's about. Jesus and his teaching have profoundly shaped, even made the world in which we live, giving us things like human rights, the moral equality of every human person, hospitals, universities, women's suffrage, the abolition of slavery, the civil rights movement, and the list goes on. As the historian Tom Holland has shown, all these are downstream and direct results of Jesus. But we suffer from cultural amnesia, and many try to erase the past, to fabricate a different story. I read just this week that English Heritage published and then promptly deleted a social media post saying that the reason we celebrate Christmas on December 25 is that it was the date of the celebration of the Roman sun god Sol Invictus, and that this was changed into a Christian holiday after the empire converted to Christianity. You may have heard this. It's a familiar meme that does the social media rounds about this time every year. As many of you know, I trained as a historian, so forgive me for this little diversion. But the story of why we celebrate Christmas on December 25 is just fascinating. So why do we? It is not because of the myth of Sol Invictus or the Saturnalia or the winter solstice, or whatever other pagan festivals. The earliest evidence of Christians recognizing December 25th as the date of Jesus' birth comes from a commentary by Hippolytus of Rome written around AD 200, which says Jesus was born on December 25 and died on March the 25th. Now, this was 70-odd years before the Emperor Aurelian established the Feast of Sol Invictus on December 25. The theory of pagan origins of Christmas was only first suggested in the 12th century, and it really took off only in the 19th century. But why December 25? Well, the answer is actually to look at Jesus' death. The early Christians knew that Jesus died on the 14th of the Jewish month of Nisan, which in the Roman solar calendar was March 25. March 25 came to be celebrated as the Feast of the Annunciation, the date when the angel Gabriel told Mary that she would conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, the date of Jesus' conception. Ancient Christians like Augustine wrote that Jesus died on the day he was conceived. And 9 months after March 25 is December 25, hence the day the early church celebrated Jesus' birth. Notice a few things from this. The incarnation happens not at Jesus' birth, but at his conception. And this has implications for how we view and therefore treat those in the womb. But more importantly, Jesus' birth is inextricably linked to his death. This, you see, is why the darkness has not and cannot overcome his life, his light. Jesus, the source of life, was swallowed up by death, but his inexhaustible light burst the gates of darkness asunder. And what is more, through his death, he reconciles us to God, we who nurse darkness in our own hearts, who at our worst deal darkness to those around us. This is why the news of his birth is such comfort for us, because he is not only God with us, he is also God for us, mighty to save. Nobody put this better than Charles Wesley. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all you nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. The world of darkness that we live in is the same world the early Christians lived in. It is the same world that Christ came into. For them, as for us, Jesus' birth was inextricably linked to his death. And this is why Christmas is a historic day, which we celebrate year in, year out, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Culturally, we may no longer recognize him, but his promise still stands. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is his invitation to you and to me. We live in a world full of darkness. That darkness may threaten to overwhelm you. But Jesus, the light of the world, has come. He is the Son of righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. If you receive him, he will make you a child of God, so that you may know the warm smile of God as your Father. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Will you receive him this Christmas? He will fill your life with his light and life and empower you to share that light with others. May God bless his word to our hearts this Christmas day. Amen.